Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
This is a personal log of Mike Flanagan riding Galloping Gale in the Transatlantic Solo Sweepstakes. It is now about 3:20 Greenwich Mean Time on the 8th of June. We've been out just over 3 days and have covered something in excess of 400 miles, which at this rate of progress would give us a 22-day passage. I have no idea how I'm doing, however, as I haven't seen another boat for 2 days. I have seen some North Atlantic shipping, which gives me the indication that I'm on the correct route, but other than that, I haven't seen any sailboat at all. I'm currently in force 6 southerly winds and have two reefs in the main and the working jib, and are doing a very nice 10 knots at present. I'm down to something like about, 8 knots, but it's averaging somewhere in the region of 9. I've had a chance to gauge the speed of the other monohulls in the race in this Jester class, and I believe that I'm the fastest by a considerable amount. Multi-hulls, however, will depend upon the wind. Trying to windward in the first day of the race in light weather, I was far superior. But in the weather of the last 2 days, I'm sure that the multi-hulls would give us a certain amount of trouble. Today, however, in this breeze, I don't think that the multi-hulls would have the endurance to keep going. It's fairly gusty, and I'm sure that they wouldn't be able to take the chance in going flat out as I am. Particularly as there have been some recent disasters and near disasters with these multi-hulls turning over in ocean conditions. Sure that the small ones in my particular class will be very much aware of that and take the necessary precautions. I certainly hope so. The sky seems to be clearing, and I expect we'll have a weather change as the front goes through. The start and the pre-start preliminaries were really very exciting. Something like 130 boats eventually started the race, the largest, of course, being the 236-foot Club Mediterranean, which was an absolutely magnificent sight in the light winds before the start. Kola seems to handle the boat very well. I'm not sure quite how he does it. He must be a very cool and very well-organized fellow. Imagine the chaos with a number of boats all charging around before the start, trying to gauge the wind and seeing which is the better end of the line and so on. As our start wasn't until 1 o'clock, an hour after the larger ones and half an hour after the intermediate started, we had plenty of time to watch the pre-race activities. I did take some photographs at this stage, but my camera got wet a little later on that day, and no doubt all of the film has been ruined. Certainly the camera is useless. I got off to a very disappointing start. I was in reasonable shape, but one of the catamarans from the United States with Rory Nugent was dead in the water, in my way, not able to get out, in spite of the fact that I had the right of way. I told him to sail on and went around and missed my position at the start by some vital seconds. I was off in the middle of the fleet and soon overtaking the smaller craft that surrounded me. All of the main boats were very much better placed and had a considerable start on me. Some of them, I would say, by as much as 15 minutes. I then tacked and went a little too far inshore and found that there was very little wind there, in spite of the fact that I was expecting a bit of a lift. I then tacked out and followed closely the rest of the fleet. It took me 3 hours to work my way up into the lead. I found in the conditions that prevailed, which was a beat to windward in fairly light and gentle breezes. I'd say it was blowing about 7 to 10 knots, and my boat was by far the fastest. I was pointing higher and going as fast or faster than the most feared rivals, the five French boats called Objective Sud. I found that the trimarans, although they moved very quickly, could not point nearly as high by some 20 or 30 degrees. They were charging all over the place, but not getting very far to windward. I say I was in the lead after 3 hours, but in fact, there was one trimaran, a Zulu, that was slightly in front, and would not have taken me very long to overhaul him. But at this point, I went about from port tack onto starboard tack, and in doing so, had a certain amount of problem with some sheets. In sorting them out, I got caught in stays and generally messed up. At this point, one of the objective suit boats coming up on port tack hit me at full speed just on the port bow. I was not able to maneuver at the time, so had no way of getting out of his way. As I was shouting at the top of my lungs, "Starboard! Starboard!" a face appeared around the sail. A look of amazement on his face just as the boats collided. With the force of the collision, due to the other boat, I was sure that I'd lose a mast, and that would be the end of me for this particular race. But the damage sustained is comparatively light. The outer skin of fiberglass and the Airex foam has been gouged out from the point of impact. One stanchion was pulled from the deck, leaving a considerable hole in the deck, and the life rail broken. The worst of all, my number one general was torn to some extent, and I was not able to use it for the rest of that day, and did not in fact repair it for a day or so, as it had to dry first. After examining the damage, I realized how fortunate I was in sustaining nothing more serious that could be repaired at sea. The Frenchman in Objective Sud 2 hacked around and came up to inquire as to the damage and seemed most concerned. I was obviously in the right, and he had no leg to stand on from the race point of view, but I told him to forget it and I'd see him in Newport. It did not, nor does it seem reasonable to protest and have him thrown out of the race. The bows of Objective Sud are very well reinforced with enormous mooring fairings, and those are welded securely into the aluminum hull. I no doubt that he sustained absolutely no damage. I hope by now that all of these boats left far behind or have no more trouble from them. But I wouldn't bank on it, because they are certainly a very determined bunch. Boats are designed specially for the race, and they are dedicated to doing well, and some of them have a considerable amount of more experience in this particular race. Mark Glinski, the leader, has sailed in two previous transatlantic solos and appears to be a tough competitor. We had a bull session aboard Galloping Gale a few days before the start, in which we were extolling the virtues of our particular craft. They're about the same size, perhaps less beam, weigh about the same, have a taller mast. Theirs is 57 foot above the deck, mine being 50. My sail area is very much more efficient, and the underwater shape is more efficient. My feeling after seeing them out of the water was that I had a far superior craft. We were lying to each other a little bit. Mark Linsky was saying how his boat would tack to, 65 degrees, he was saying. I thought it was nonsense at the time, and subsequently in watching them at in the beginning part of the race, I realized that mine was very much closer winded than theirs, although I can't admit to tacking any closer than 80 degrees. Particular collision, however, really affected me significantly. I found that after clearing the debris away and getting started again on the racing, with a loss of about a half an hour, that I was really shaken up and realized how close I'd come to having this whole thing come to absolutely zero 3 hours after the start. Also impressed upon me my vulnerability and made me very much more cautious for the rest of the certainly for the rest of that day. I don't expect to be cautious throughout the race, but will be very much more aware that I have to take care. I spent all my time in Plymouth prior to the race getting the boat ready. There were many, many things that had to be done, in spite of the fact that I was expecting to have very little. I found it very difficult to get things done. I didn't really know my way around, and found there's very little that you could buy in Plymouth of a special nature. Everything had to come from the outside, which took days. Consequently, I hadn't time to study the charts and plan my strategy for getting out of the English Channel as well as I had intended. It wasn't until going around before the start that I had time to look at the tide tables and look at the charts and study a course. It was also quite foggy and overcast and raining, and very difficult to pick out landmarks. I mistook my position and found my way almost into Falmouth, thinking I'd already rounded Lizard Light. Eventually sorted my way out and was off Land's End by dawn. I had not slept at all, and feeling somewhat drowsy. However, as I proceeded through fairly thick fog, trying to take radio bearings, that type of thing, and looking at the depth, trying just to make sure that I knew my position. Having confirmed my position, the fog then proceeded to lift, and I found that I was abeam of Club Mediterranean, slightly ahead, and just behind one of the objective steward boats. We were going to weather at the time, in fairly light winds, and as I mentioned, my number one general was damaged, so I had up the number two, but even with the number two, I managed to overtake the French boat in fairly short order. At this time, I was able to bear away, sail with a freer wind. There was an instant when I had Club Mediterranean and this French boat directly astern, dashed below my camera, only to find that it had found its way into the bilge, being improperly stowed, and was absolutely useless. It's a pity. Would have made a great photograph. As we had borne away, I got out my light reacher and a staysail and piled them on, and absolutely amazed the Frenchman by who had joined this maneuver, overtake me again by speeding past him and leaving him astern with absolutely no problem at all. As the fog cleared, it was a beautiful day, sunshine, a reasonable amount of wind. There was a large catch that I sighted abeam of me. I soon left this astern, and it disappeared over the horizon. That's the last sailboat I've seen. I slept for a couple of hours on the 6th at various times, and didn't really get any reasonable sleep until today. I only sleep for an hour at a time and have an alarm clock to wake me up. I have found, more often than not, I've woken up before the alarm's gone and gone deck to see if the boat needs some attention to make sure that we're getting maximum speed. It's taken all my energies to tend to the boat. Below decks were an absolute shambles. Have to go through and stow everything. I still haven't repaired the stanchion and have a hole in the deck, which is taking a little bit of water. Nothing to worry about, but water goes into the forward compartment, which doesn't affect me that much. Matter of fact, I'm looking up now, I can see a little bit of sunlight poking through and some water from the waves that are breaking over the boat, dribbling on down. Not exactly sunlight, because there isn't that much sun about, but the cloud cover is fairly thin, and I think its conditions are going to improve shortly. And so saying, I looked up and cast my head around just to find that it's thickening in again. So that's okay, it's only a little bit of rain, and we're doing a good 9 knots in the right direction, so I can't complain about that. Weather does clear, I'm sure the wind will be on the nose and I'll be beating. I took a noon sight on the sextant today, but it wasn't a very good one. The sextant, I find, is not very clean. It seems that Doug Banks did not clean it before he packed it away and gave it to my sister, and I didn't get it until just before the start. The noon shot put me some 40 miles south of my dead reckoning position. It's the first confirmation of position I've had for about 300 miles. It wouldn't surprise me too much, nor does it make that much difference. If it doesn't clear up this afternoon, perhaps it will tomorrow, and I'll be able to get a good fix. Spent quite a bit of time trying to figure out what the other competitors are going to do, whether the trimarines will go north or south, but there's absolutely no way of telling. I'm sure that most of the trimarines will go south, but it seems to me that a couple, particularly with the weather that we've had over the last couple of days, will be well established on the northern route. Either way, in this particular class, if we do get some nasty weather, which is predictable, I think we will be able to win. There's always a great deal of luck in this particular thing. If you get on the right side of the weather system, you can get 200 miles over your rival who happens to be on the wrong side of the weather system. But if we play our cards right, I think we have an excellent chance of winning. In going over the boat, all the boats at Plymouth, there isn't one that I would have selected over mine. And the performance at the start of the race really indicated that we had gone the right way in terms of design, etc. So it takes me a couple of days to get myself sorted out at sea. I generally feel a little bit off color first couple of days and lack a little bit of energy that I would normally have. Still not feeling the greatest, but certainly able to function totally. A little bit of sleep would be okay, but I think I'll soon get used to this lack of sleep, and it will pay off in the end. Apart from our little problem in the channel, we've had some incredibly good runs. Noon to noon run on the 6th was 153 nautical miles, and the noon to noon yesterday was 170 nautical miles. And now we're charging along at an average, I'd say, of 9 knots. Although you get romanced by seeing that needle up around 10, and you think you're doing 10, and forget about the time when it's hovering around 8, but the needle very seldom seems to be down as far as 8. We're healing at about 20 degrees, sometimes 30 or 40 in the gust. On being reached, that's to say that the wind is coming from normal to the boat, coming from right angles to the boat. We picked up a new cell steerer in Plymouth, which seems to be working extraordinarily well. It's not quite heavy enough for this boat. I did bring a complete steerer along, but up to now it's certainly done its job very, very well. The electrical system is holding up very nicely. It just fell off a wave. I don't know whether you could hear the crashing. We have three solar cells working, and the batteries are well topped up. Also, use the navigational lights at night. I didn't intend to, but after my little collision with the Frenchman, I feel that I should use the proper lights. I use the power from the batteries for work below deck at night. It uses sparingly, of course, but it does mean that I have that much confidence in the system. I tried the mechanical cell steerer for a short period yesterday, but it really is not very good, not nearly as good as the electric device. And Dick Carter tried the mechanical cell steerer. This was after the trials in Newport. Dick and I went out for a day. He suggested that the top of the priority should be a cell steerer because that was going to be handling the boat 100% of the time. And it should take priority over sails and everything else. That was very good advice. I'm really pleased with the system that I have.
I just put my head up to see how things are progressing as our angle of heel and so on had increased some extent. And I got absolutely soaking by a wave that broke over the boat. It seems to me that the wind now in the puffs is probably gale force, although I don't think the sustained wind is. Most prudent thing to do would be to take off some canvas, but I think we're still going along at this lovely speed, and I really don't want that to stop. So I think we'll just bash straight on. There's a damned leak right over my bunk. So drip, drip, drip. I have to get that team to have to dry out first before anything will stick to it. Maybe I'll have to swap it. Sheet sleeps with my feet at that end. Is now built up to something like 10 foot, but not anything starting.
It was about an hour and a half since I last spoke. The wind and seas had built up to full gale force about half an hour after I spoke, and then decided that I'd be better off with four reefs in the main instead of the two I was carrying, and one of the storm jibs up instead of the working jib. So I proceeded to take the reefs in the main, but unfortunately my topping lift, which is the device that holds the boom, was not on, as I'd taken it off to avoid chafe. And the best way of doing it was to take the whole main off, put the reefs in, and then put it up again. And doing so, when the boat was relatively still in the water and going at reduced speed, the waves were breaking right over the boat, so it was really quite a job wrestling the thing in. During this whole alarming process, which took about an hour, the sun broke through very briefly, as if to say, ha-ha, trying to tamper with Mother Nature, are you? After taking off the working jib, I realized that we were down to something like 4 knots. That was with the main alone, and that a storm jib just wouldn't be adequate. Therefore, we are racing, and no doubt that the trimaran can do something like 4 knots in this type of weather. So up went the working jib again, so we're back up now to, it's reading 9 now and we're surging to 10. So back to the same speed was very much easier on the boat. And wouldn't you believe it, I believe the wind has dropped a little bit. I get really excited by the magnificence of a gale at sea, and I really quite enjoy it. It's this type of challenge that I think I came for.
In time of the last recording, it looked as though the gale had just about finished. The front was coming through, the barometer was just starting to rise, and the wind should have died, but didn't. It increased, and it stayed at gale force for 24 hours. The waves got somewhere in the order of about 25 feet. Tried many combinations of sail, but in those big waves, it was really pounding around quite a lot. So spent several hours under just the main, not making very good progress. I don't think that's adequate for the race, and I really had a very, very frustrating time. Many, many things went wrong. They're all very minor in nature, and I think would have been anticipated had more time been spent in sailing the boat. And one of the problems with this particular venture is the fact that we've been hampered by money to such an extent that we haven't got the thing together until last minute. Some of the sails I had up yesterday in the gale had not been on the boat before. I brought them over with me on the airplane, and at the last minute we cut tenants for them. Tenants didn't fit, but necessitated a repair sitting on the foredeck in a gale. Things got dropped overboard, halyards got loose and were crashing around, I bumped against the tiller and bent the self-steering gear. I got my hand caught in the mechanical gear when I tried to get that thing done, and narrowly missed breaking some bones. Got away with a graze. But generally speaking, a very frustrating time. The other discouraging thing is that the gale, though it didn't do what the textbooks say it could do. It could have given me a different type of wind today. It looks as though we've got another front coming in right now. It's raining again. And so we've got one of these fronts set on top of the other one. I also overslept last night. Somehow or another, I didn't hear the alarm, and spent about 4 hours asleep. Boat fared okay, but some sail changes could have been made in order to increase the speed as the wind had dropped significantly. It started to rise this morning, and since this morning, I've made something like 8 sail changes as the wind's gone up and down. It's now 11:20. I haven't had time for breakfast yet. And the wind has dropped. So we're sort of thrashing around after changing up and then down to smaller sails and then up into bigger sails again. And now I've got nothing. During this frustrating period, I've been asking myself, what the hell am I doing out here? Here I've got a very expensive venture together, and in doing so have jeopardized a number of things, such as my family to some extent. They've suffered for lack of attention. My business certainly suffered for lack of attention. And we're sitting out here, and when we get back, we'll have a mountain of debt and a second-hand boat. And things will be improved to some extent. We're fortunate enough to win. Then at least we've got a winning boat instead of just a second-hand boat. At this stage, it's easy to ask what you're doing out here and not really find any satisfactory answers. The progress over the last couple of days has been fairly poor. And then I hope my competitors have fared badly. It's 2:40 on the 10th, a few hours after I spoke to you before. I finally figured out this damn weather. I've just gone through the eye of the depression and am now north of it. The winds have been backing and are now out of the north. I'm still in overcast sky, but at least I know what's going to happen now. Boats to the south will all be in the storm. Boats to the north have had free winds and have been making good time. Our game plan is to head north whenever we hit a depression, and eventually we'll be perhaps one of the most northern boats, and the boats to the south will be clobbered by depression, and we'll get good winds all the way in. That will, or could make a difference of up to 200 miles on a boat that's, say, 50 miles to the south of us. Light winds that I've experienced today are typical in the center of the depression. I think my inexperience in matters of weather and inexperience with a boat will make a difference of at least 2 days by the time I get to Plymouth. Or rather, I think I'm heading to Newport. Our average for the trip is really not bad. I'm talking about since we got out of the channel in the first day. We've averaged 146 miles. That's 153 the first day, 170 the second day, 133 the third. And we did 99 yesterday. That's noon to noon, and today we should be doing all right, I think, so that'll bring that average up a little bit. 146 is an average of just over 6 knots, which is the absolute minimum that we have to maintain to do any good in this race, so we're not doing too badly. We have a little to make up at the beginning, because I don't think that we did that well right at the beginning of the on the first day. We've been having a pretty miserable time of it since our last recording, for some reason or another. It rained for 24 hours. For part of that time, we were making great progress. For other part of the time, we were in calm. The barometer was somewhat steady. It seemed to me that we went north of this one weather system that we were in and started going over the top of it in fairly close to the core. And we then had the rains and calms that might well be associated with it. But then all of a sudden, the sun came out for a very short period, about midday on the 11th, in a flat calm. I did manage to get my first shot to give us some indication as to where we were. 120 miles north of the position that we had assumed and about as far along. When I say assumed, I'm talking about the position that we got from the rum line, which is the shortest distance. Our strategy, if you remember, was to go north, so it's not terribly startling. But we do seem to have got ourselves messed up in this one weather system. I can only assume it's one that seems to be stalled here and is doing a circle or something like that. Because when after the rain cleared, it lasted for an hour and a half. We then had increasing winds, during which time I changed sail about a dozen times, from dead calm right through the whole sail wardrobe until I ended up in quite a strong gale, equally as strong as we've had up to now, with absolutely pelting rain. I got soaked to the skin during this whole thing once again. And we're now broken out into sunshine, but still in gale. And since noon today, it's now about 8:30, we've covered, let's see, 33 miles, which is just terrible. Yesterday we had a run of 134. But since I run at 99 days before that, we've been doing somewhat badly in terms of our average speed that we have to maintain. I seem to have been working like a son of a gun all day today, and had you know, a very light breakfast, and it wasn't until the gale came and we'd made our final change down through the storm jib and the fore east and the main that I had time to come down and have anything. And then I only snacked. So I'll have to get on and have some sort of a meal this evening, otherwise I won't be able to keep my strength up. In terms of morale, it's really not bad. I feel a lot better than I did the first 4 days. I was feeling quite a bit off color, and that, of course, affects your drive and outlook on things. I find that I can work the boat for a period of 6 hours or so solid without going down below, without even thinking of food or anything else. There are times, however, when I get exhausted, and it takes a lot longer to do the most simple job. An hour or so ago, I was sitting on the foredeck, trying to tie three bowlines in sheets, and I had to attempt the bowline three times on one of the knots, and that's a knot that I had done 1,000 times, and it generally goes quickety-quick. I nearly fell overboard today, but I had my safety harness on. Fred was lunging backwards with nothing but the sea, and grabbed hold of my safety harness and hold myself back to some sort of balance on that. Never venture from the cockpit without the harness attached. I say never. I suppose I should say hardly ever. Generally speaking, I'm learning a lot about the boat, and feel that I'll be able to drive much better for the second two-thirds of the race. Most of my thoughts seem to be a dialogue between myself and myself, which I discuss, you know, what to do next in terms of the sail change and this type of thing. It's not out loud, but, you know, there's definitely a subconscious, you know, conversation that debates what's the next best move. Carrying out some of the maneuvers is you know, a definite process of thought, and quite a pride taken in doing the thing properly, as though you're in some sort of a demonstration, and making a neat reef in the main and that sort of thing. Of course, you can do that from, you know, time to time when you have periods when you've done most of the main work that has to be done in order to get the boat rolling. Down below in a complete shambles, clothes strewn all over the place, dishes in the sink that haven't been washed for days, tools and so on lying on the cabin sole together with water jugs, some of which are empty. I had the sail locker all nicely sorted out this morning, but it's once again cluttered with about four sails that are just lying one on top of the other there. That's as I took them off to change down to the storm jib. They went straight down the hatch without a thought of folding them because they're trying to keep way on the boat. It really is an exhausting effort to try to get one of those big sails, particularly the heavy number one, into a bag. And once it's in the bag, it's impossible to lift it on the foredeck through the hatch because the bag is too big to go through. Again, they have to take it out of the sack down below and just pull it through in pieces. And they're quite sore, numerous gashes and things that have occurred with banging and working, little pieces of skin taken off. I've had aches in my back and shoulders and neck, but nothing to really keep me back. Weather is really confusing. I've got a couple of books here that are supposed to explain what goes on with weather systems. None of them have managed to call this one. I'd be very interested to go back and get the weather charts and see just what is occurring, or what has occurred, rather. I only hope my competitors are getting the same shitty weather. Although some of them have gone down south by the Azores, who are probably basking in sunshine instead of freezing their nuts off. One problem, of course, with this more northern route will be ice area, and then the fogs off Newfoundland. I only hope the strategy pays off. It certainly hasn't up to now. But I think it's too late to change the rain for a large period of time and not a very big horizon. There was quite a bit of mist with, not exactly fog, but mist with the rain. So it was a very enclosed atmosphere. And not even any seagulls around. Sun always makes a big difference. So when that comes through, it makes things feel a little less uncomfortable, a little more comfortable, I think is the term. Besides, Richard charges my battery. Battery system has been holding up remarkably well, but I still like to see that sun there charging the batteries. Just went up to put some more sail on. We're still crashing into this head seas now, 9:30. Keep on expecting the cold front to go through, which should be associated with this gale. But I've been expecting that for days, and somehow or another I just keep on missing it. I really don't know what's happened to this system. There's a bank of squall clouds coming over very shortly, and maybe that'll be it. I really don't know. That should give us a change in wind direction, which will take us a little bit further south. All part of the game plan. Once the motion below decks gets anything like comfortable, and once the noise stops, you know that you haven't got enough sail up, you're not driving the boat hard enough. We're right now up to 7.5 knots. And in these conditions, that's pushing it some because of the waves. But that's what it's about. And the way you can hear the pounding. So as we fall off some of these things, the rattling of chattering of the gear and so on. But it's all there. Somewhere or another. I was expecting the weather to change ASN for us to get into the cold front sector of this weather system and then get fair winds and start really start sailing. How wrong I was. At 1 o'clock it really started to blow up. The weather's gone you know, back into the south and then back into the southwest subsequently. And it's 11:30 the following day. We've been having this absolutely immense strong gale since that time. I had to take off the headsails. We're doing about 4 or 5 knots roughly in the right direction under the main alone. The wind is absolutely howling and the the waves are being blown off, and it's just a mass of spray and foam. It's difficult to tell whether it's raining or whether it's just spray. It's overcast and miserable. I don't know what's happened to the weather here. There must be two or three systems that have come together and reinforced one another, or there's one system that's stalled here that's going around in circles, doing a loop, which does occur. It'll be interesting to find out just what has happened. It's being held up like this. I really hope that the boats have taken the southern circuit, which has sunshine, fair breezes, not having it all their own way either. Generally, that route is somewhat longer in terms of miles, but the weather is far more pleasant. I hope also my competitors to the south, and I'm sure that I'm probably one of the most northern boats, are also having a tough time of it, because I'm certainly in the midst of some incredible weather right now. It's been going on for days. I've forgotten just how many, but it's been going on for quite a number of days. Miles for the day will probably be in the 70s or maybe into the 80s, which is really terrible. The cabin's in a complete shambles. And the clothes I took off the other day when this thing started as being too damp or too wet to be habitable and were cast around the place, I now have on as being much better than the ones I had on last night. I don't think there's much more to do but wait. I have at least caught up on some sleep during this particular gale because there's no other sail changes to be made. There's nothing to be done, really. So I set about and cooked some lunch, I think. I wish I had a camera so I could take a photograph of the absolute chaos down below deck with sails and soaking wet sleeping bags and pillows and tools and clothing and so on. It really is a mess. I'm absolutely ashamed of it. The galleys are reasonably well organized. That's thanks, of course, to Terry. You did a good job, dear. Incredible. I feel as I've been in this gale forever. Waves must be about 25 foot or so and occasionally break over the boat. The thing about the boat on deck is a hands and knees job, grabbing on to whatever is available. I had to go up forward to lash down some gear a little while ago and asked to tend to the south steering. As soon as this moderates just slightly, I'll get some more sail up, but right now I think that it would be better to leave it as it is. Come to think of it, I must have been out about a week now, or about an hour and 20 minutes. Looking at the progress, it's difficult to imagine that I'll be back in 2.5 weeks, but it is still possible.